In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is probably not a surprise to you, if you know me at all, that this would be one of my favorite stories in the gospel. Lots and lots of deacons are doing homilies tonight, because this is a story that is not only dear to me, it is dear to many of us in my order. It is a story that is central to who we are and how it is that we are supposed to live out our ministry. The towel and the basin are symbols of our ministry, and for our brothers and sisters in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, their deacon's symbol is the towel. Upon their ordination, they are conferred with a towel rather than a stole. The foot washing only appears in John's gospel, not in the other three. But I suppose by way of balance, he does not even mention the institution of the Eucharist. Happily, we heard that from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. This story is indeed central to servant ministers and servant leaders all around the world. And in order to get that, in order to truly understand it, first you have to understand that this is a love story. Even before it is an example or a drama or a command, and this short reading is all of those things, it is first and foremost a story about love. A love so strong and so great that words alone could not contain it. Jesus had to act. He had to show his disciples how much he loved them, and he has continued to show us how very much he loves us. So how did he do that? He did it by taking the part of a servant and performing an act of everyday hospitality to show us that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that he would not do for us. He wanted to show us and to wash us and to cleanse us. It was a foreshadowing of what was to come. He wanted to cleanse us not only from the dusty everyday grit of the road and the world, but the dusty and gritty everyday sins of our lives, the ones that separate us from each other and distance us from God. This was a way of teaching his disciples, not just with words, but with actions, a way of caring for them, nurturing them, and at the same time preparing them for his death. He was showing them that he loved them. Jesus got up from the table, took off his outer garment, and laid it aside. He voluntarily got up from that table, took off his outer garment, and laid it aside. And if you think I'm making a big deal out of that, it's only because I am. Once again, Jesus is turning the world upside down, and the roles of who is greater than whom. He gets up and he wraps his body in cloth, but this is just a towel, nothing more. He wraps himself in a towel and begins to wash his disciples' feet, much to their astonishment and consternation, much to their dismay. He was reversing the roles that were the accepted and established order of things. He was the rabbi, the teacher, their Lord, the head host of this feast, and he was doing a servant's job. Well, I can imagine a few mutters of, we've never done it this way before. And while he might have appointed one of the disciples or a servant to do this job, he did it himself. This was the job not just of a servant, but of a slave. And perhaps that's the reason why Peter got so upset. You don't intend to wash my feet, do you? I mean, come on, I should be washing yours. And everybody in the room probably felt the same way, but only Peter says it out loud. Now, in John's gospel, Peter usually knows what Peter is going to say shortly after he hears himself say it. And he appears clueless often in the gospel, just as he does in this moment. But Jesus does not chide him. He tells him ever so gently, I know that you don't get it. I know you don't understand. But unless you let me wash you, you're not going to have a share with me. He was a man of great heart, was Peter, a man of great enthusiasm, and yes, a man of great faith, because he takes Jesus at his word, and then in typical Peter fashion, he goes a bit over the top. Well, all right, okay, bring it on. Wash my feet and my hands and my head. Jesus had to reel him back in a little bit and do some more explaining. That no, what I'm doing is enough. It is dayenu. It is enough. It is more than enough. I will wash you and make you clean, and that is as clean as you're ever going to need to be, because you will be part of me. Being bathed in Christ's grace, joined with him in baptism, we are part of him. And along with that, we are joined in his death and joined in his resurrection as well. And when Jesus got back up off of his knees and put his robe back on, that's a resurrection symbol right there. He sits back down at the table and asks them, "Did you see what I did? Did you see what I did just now?" That's what I want you to do. I want you to take care of each other. And this little story has it all. Ritual cleansing, death and resurrection, and all of it is saturated and flowing and dripping with Christ's love and with God's grace. So I ask you then, why is it so hard? Why is it so hard for us to accept? I don't know about you, but I will confess that for me, it is not an easy thing to come up and sit down and make myself publicly vulnerable in this way. It isn't easy or comfortable to physically and metaphorically bear my soul and my souls and be cared for in this manner. It makes it so very public that I'm in need of care. And as a veteran nurse who has probably washed thousands of feet, I am more comfortable in the role of the caregiver than the care receiver. And therein lies the danger. Thankfully, Jesus sets us an example there too. He has already had his feet washed. They were washed with oil and with tears and dried with hair. And Jesus let the woman do that for him. She let her take care of him and held off the naysayers so she could do it. And did you notice? He washed everybody's feet, not just his favorites, not the top three, the inner circle, the top 10 or 11. He washed everybody's feet, the feet of the beloved disciple and the feet of Judas too. He washed the feet and just the feet of Peter, who would also betray him, and Peter would do it three times. Still, even with that example, I find myself occasionally struggling with the dusty and gritty sin of pride that says I am perfectly capable of keeping my own feet clean. And that sounds like something that needs to be washed away, because I want to be healthier than that and holier than that. I want to be cleaner than that. And so for the good of my body, for the good of this body, and the good of my soul, I will prayerfully and gratefully receive care as well as provide it. I will be washing and caring for the body of Christ and repeating Christ's example of loving service. I will be seeking and serving Christ in each person as benefits my baptismal ministry. I'll be stepping out of my comfort zone and stepping out of my shoes, and I will allow others to care for me in a way that I know I need. It is my hope that by word and example, in speaking and in action, I'll assist in teaching and encouraging all of you to, even if only in spirit, love one another, wash each other's feet, care for each other. One of the ways we have an opportunity to do that is to do something here at the cathedral. We are going to do something called the Power of a Shower and Clean Clothes, where if we repair our showers and get them spiffed up, provide laundry facilities, we can provide things that in my own blindness to privilege, I take for granted. Things like access to soap, abundant water, privacy, and safety for the provision of dignity of a clean body and clean clothes. I ask you to pray for all of us and for each other as we live out the mandatum, the command that from which this day takes its name. Mandatum is Latin for mandate, and the mandate that we are given is the new commandment that goes with all of this action. love one another as I have loved you. Amen.